Flip, 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 flip.
Flip Weekly!
Hello and welcome to the Flip Weekly podcast for March 6th, 2025. My name is Matt, and you know, I'm a new man. I am a new man because for this weekend, I tried something different. I went out of my comfort zone and I tried something different. What did I do? I increased my eBay promoted listings from 3% to 6%. I changed them up. I doubled my promoted listings. Big man. Yeah, I know. I was thinking, you know, I want to see if I can increase my sales over the weekend, if doubling my promoted listing percentage would have any sort of effect. I did it at 5 p.m. on a Friday. I was going out on the Saturday morning, not for sales, I couldn't find any, but to my sister's place because it was my birthday. I'm not going to tell you the exact date, but it was my birthday the other day. I celebrated. I'm now a 30 something year old man. I feel like my life is over. I celebrated with my family, with my sister's partner, my mum, and my beautiful niece and nephew. Really good time. Nothing garage sale related, nothing thrift store related. Although on the drive back, I did stop at a thrift store and I picked up something that I ended up selling within 8 minutes. Isn't my fastest sale ever, but I will tell you a bit more about it. It was listed on eBay and Marketplace. You know, I'm trying to sell things that are worth at least $100. This was listed on eBay for over $100. It was on Marketplace for $100. And yeah, it sold in 8 minutes that I picked up on the drive back. You know, there's a 1 hour distance between me and my sister. On the drive back, I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop in at this place. I'm going to see if there's anything there. Because why not? It's a random Monday. We're avoiding going back to reality. We don't want to go back to reality on a Monday. You know what it's like when you go back to work or go back to whatever you do on a Monday, what your routine is like. I don't want to do that. I don't want to drive home and read emails and be responsible for my life. I just want to, you know, stop at a thrift store and buy things. So yes, I was procrastinating. Turned out well because I ended up making a bit of money just from this one thing that I picked up. But anyway, I am a new man, year older, and I updated my promoted listings. Did it have an effect? I mean, not really. The only effect that I've seen is that I'm going to be paying more in fees. Am I getting more clicks? I haven't checked. Is a conversion rate from search results to my listings higher? Probably. I don't know. It might be the same. I haven't checked. There's a lot of data that you can access on eBay to analyze your listings to see if you're getting a high click-through rate. Like all these things you could really do. I don't do that. A better eBay seller would. So if you're looking for some sort of insight for if you should increase your eBay promoted listings percentage, all I'm going to say to you is I did have two sales worth for items that sold for a bit more money than my average. I think my average selling price is between, I think it's like between $70 and $100. I think it's around there. The two items that I sold, one was for $250 and one was for 150 or 170, something like that. I don't know if there's any sort of correlation. If I dug deeper into the numbers, maybe I'd be able to see if there was a correlation, but I think it might have just been completely random. And I mean, the first one that was sold for 250, somebody sent me an offer. The item was listed for more than that, and I just accepted 250 because I was like, I want money now. And I mean, I paid less than 250. But anyway, we did, besides those sales, we did have other sales throughout the week. We did pick up some cool stuff. We always pick up cool stuff throughout the week. You would have seen the title by now. I was debating which item to really feature because we picked up so much stuff this week that it was like really cool shit that would all be worthy of being featured. But I thought, you know, let's do Barbie. But, you know, I think it was last year, there was that phenomenon, which was Barbenheimer. Or was it Barbenheimer or Oppen? It was Barbenheimer. Barbenheimer? It was that thing where Barbie and Oppenheimer, two movies, were released at the same time. And people ended up going to see them back to back, I guess, because they're such contrasting films. So this week I picked up two items. One was Barbie related and one was Star Wars related, and I was thinking of some dumb title like Forget About Barbenheimer, How About Barben Wars. Really dumb. But yeah, picked up some cool Barbie stuff. picked up one cool Barbie thing, picked up some Star Wars stuff, picked up some old school Game Boy type shit. Like, there's just so much cool stuff that were in thrift stores for some reason this week that were all worthy of being featured. But yeah, I'm going to go through each of them now. I also told you last week we had the winners of the Vinny's gift card competition announced. I've contacted everyone that entered. Thank you again for everyone that entered and interacted with the post. Don't forget that you can jump on over to Instagram, instagram.com/flipweekly, to see videos. You can't see videos on the podcast. You can't see videos on the newsletter. But I am starting to film some stuff in thrift stores just because it is the best medium to be posting this sort of stuff. So that is on Instagram. It's also on YouTube and YouTube Shorts. So you can see that there. And any sort of interaction and engagement is going to keep me motivated to continue filming that sort of stuff and continue editing. Only recently learned podcast editing, only recently learned video editing. I mean, it's a lot of editing work. There's about 3 minutes of editing per 1 minute of audio, and a bit more when it comes to video. But anyway, all that and more, I guess. But yeah, let's get into it. We're going to start off this week with some Star Wars. Star Wars is a cultural phenomenon that's been going for, what, 30, 40, 50 years now, and I've not had any desire whatsoever to get involved. You know, Star Wars is everywhere. I see it in the thrift store all the time. It's sort of tricky to date some of this Star Wars stuff. I think the newer Star Wars, they don't have dates on their stuff. They have, like, the copyright, what is it, Lucasfilms or copyright Disney or copyright whatever. It's mostly the older stuff that has dates on it, which I find it hard to... I mean, it makes it hard for us when we're reselling to date stuff. You know, the more recent stuff probably isn't going to be worth that much money. But anyway, yeah, Star Wars is everywhere. There's the movies that came out what felt like every single year. There was TV shows, The Mandalorian. If you go on Disney Plus right now, you'd probably be able to see all different Star Wars shows. So it's still relevant in 2025, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere. So when I find Star Wars stuff in a thrift store, I'm always intrigued. There's such a big market for it. I just want to find stuff that isn't brand new from the past 2, 3, whatever amount of years. I want to find, like, the older stuff, the rarer stuff, and you can't always do that. I found a bag of Star Wars action figures in a thrift store before. It was actually one of the first things I wrote about. I found a $12 grab bag of Star Wars in a Vinny's thrift store. Put them online. They sold within hours for a couple hundred bucks. It was a really cool find, and I've been chasing that ever since, I guess, because I haven't been able to find vintage Star Wars really in the wild since then. Even at garage sales, it's just such a difficult thing to come by because everyone knows Star Wars. Everyone knows that there's value to be had with their figures. But anyway, this week I didn't find vintage Star Wars. I found something that does have some value though. What it is, it's from 2013. It's called the Bounty Hunter Code. And what it is, a case that within inside the case has a book, has some Star Wars paraphernalia, and it's lockable with, like, this little credit card looking thing, right? So that's what it is on the surface. I mean, if you describe it within Star Wars lore, I'm going to do that for you, okay? So I found this on the Star Wars fandom wiki page, and it says that when legendary bounty hunter Boba Fett met his untimely end at the Pit of Carkoon, the Rebel Alliance discovered a secure, blast-proof bounty hunter's case holding Boba Fett's personal items. For years it remained hidden away, but now all who wish may unlock the secrets held within. If you're familiar with Star Wars, that might help out a bit. But yeah, it's a plastic case. Definitely not blast-proof, but it's a plastic case. Inside of it, it has all of, I guess, Boba Fett's personal items, including his license, a book about, I mean, like a training handbook, I guess. It has like his gun license and pistol, his concealed carry maybe, and just a few other sort of like artifacts from Star Wars. And it's actually really cool. When the case is closed, okay, so this is how you open the case, all right? So there's two buttons on the side that you press in at once, and you press those buttons, and then from the front, this door opens up, okay? And there's little like lights and sounds to make it sound like you've activated the case, okay? And then from that, a little area opens up where you can put in the credit card, which is the key. You can use any sort of credit card, but it comes with like this little credit card thing, which is the key, yeah. You put that in, and then more lights, more sounds, and the case slowly opens up. You know when you open a brand new like iPhone, the iPhone slowly comes out? It's sort of like that, but with this, you know, plastic case that's opening up. By the way, fun fact, Apple patented the way that the iPhone is revealed with that, with their box, which I thought is pretty funny. But yeah, it does that, opens up, and yeah, then you find all the contents inside. The hardest thing with this sort of product when you find it in a thrift store is you want it to be complete. You're desperate for everything to be in there, because when it comes to collectors, what's the point of an incomplete collection? It's not something that's desirable. So I opened this up when I got home and I checked it. I was slowly finding all the items. I couldn't find some of the licenses, but they were hidden within the book, sort of used like a bookmark. And eventually I found everything. The reason that I was able to get it from a thrift store for $15, that's the price that I paid for it, is on the outside, it came in like this slip case, right? And in the slip case had the Scholastic logo on it. Scholastic, famous for book fairs, that sort of thing. So Scholastic, when you think Scholastic, you think books. So I think the thrift store has found this. They've taken the slip case off. They've seen like this little case book thing. They've decided that it must be some sort of like book, right? Because they couldn't open it. I don't think they could open it because the batteries in it needed to be replaced, which I did. And I think that they assumed that this was, yeah, a book that wasn't very valuable. They definitely didn't look it up. You know, looking it up on eBay or doing a Google Lens search, you'd be able to find the value on it. So in terms of value, the value is there. If this was brand new, fully sealed, you get $300. There's a sold comp for $305. It was auctioned off brand new too. I don't have one bid for $125, but you know, always going to sell for less than a buy it now. So there was also another brand new copy sold for $165. So the comps are sort of all over the place. There isn't enough of these that the market is flooded. You're not going to go onto eBay and find 1,000 of these, even though it's not that old. So add on my little Australia tax. That's our tax that we get charged for being such a small island and a small market. Not many things come here, or if they do, they're really expensive. So I've taken photos and I've put it up on eBay for $169.95 with free post. Posting this for me will probably be about $15-$20. So I would be able to profit at least $100, which is what I aim for. If you go into the newsletter, you'll be able to see photos of this Bounty Hunter case. It is honestly pretty cool. I've linked in the newsletter a video of somebody unboxing, and you'd be able to see, you know, pressing the buttons on the side and like, yeah, the front face opening up, and it would be complete if as soon as the lid started to open there was smoke filling the room. But it's not that high tech. This is, at the end of the day, this is just plastic, and the reviewers, they say that it's like, it's not $1,000 Star Wars item. This could be done really well. It's done in a mass market way. So yeah, this is, it's still cool. It's still worth $169.95. Hopefully I can sell it. There's already three people watching it, and it says it's in one person's cart. Whether or not they go through and buy it, I don't know. It's still cool. Star Wars, man, like, still so popular. People haven't gotten sick of it. I think I sat through one of them. I think I sat through the one with Samuel L. Jackson, where he has the purple lightsaber. That to me is iconic, even though I don't really, I don't know, I don't feel anything towards it. I just think it's an iconic look. Oh, and Darth Maul with his double lightsaber, I thought was pretty cool. The irony is that I had a Star Wars poster on my wall growing up, but I think it was because I was influenced by my dad, who liked Star Wars. I don't think I ever liked Star Wars. I had a Star Wars poster, but I hadn't seen the films. Or I had seen parts of the films. I don't know how that works. I was getting indoctrinated into Star Wars. Maybe that's why I don't watch it now, because I watched enough of it as a kid. Or I didn't watch enough of it as a kid. I don't know. Anyway, that's the Star Wars item. 15 into 170 should be good. Keep an eye out for the Star Wars stuff. Like, this stuff is, it's still so collectible and sought after by fans of the series franchise. Yeah. The next item stood out to me in a thrift store. You're going to see why if you jump onto the newsletter and see the photos, or jump onto our Instagram. I will be posting a video of me finding it in a thrift store. It's this bright pink Barbie book, okay? Didn't have a price on it in a thrift store. Took it to the counter, got interrogated, ended up paying $5 for it. It's a hardcover pink Barbie book. So you can imagine this thing standing out on a thrift store shelf. Among every other book with like a white spine, black spine, there's this thick pink spine with the iconic Barbie logo on it. I don't know if I've heard in the past that Barbie books are worth money, or if it was just something that stood out and I thought, well, I need to check on this. This thing is incredible. There are active listings right now of this Barbie book that are hundreds and hundreds of dollars. What it is, it's called The Art of Barbie Style. Now, before Barbie Style, it has the at symbol, so it's referencing a social media account. I checked it out. It's a Instagram social media account for Barbie, and on this Barbie Style Instagram page, it's photos and photos and photos of Barbies dressed up in different outfits. Just think of like a fashion influencer posting photos of themselves in dresses and different outfits. It's that, but for Barbie, and it has millions of followers. It's a curation of all of Barbie's most famous looks, I guess. It says on the book, from front row award shows to playing in the Malibu sunshine. But yeah, hardcover book. It's printed by a company, and I'm going to butcher the way you say this company's name. It's like Asylony, whatever it is. I went onto eBay and I checked out Asylone. I searched this company name, and it seems that every book that this company publishes is worth thousands of dollars. There's so few listings for it. Whether or not they're just a small publisher and they only do small print runs, that's what it must be, right? Because when you type in, I'm going to spell it out for you so you can check it out yourself. It's Asylone. Okay. You type that in, there's a sold comp for a 2008 Barbie book. It's the title is literally Barbie 2008, oversized book. And it has a sold comp for $1,000. $1,045.04. And then there's a few other coffee table sized books that have sold for like $220, $235. And these aren't old books either. They're just from like the past. 2008, how long ago was that? It feels like the other day, but I guess it's over like 15 years by now. But yeah, this company is selling $1,000 books of Barbie. I always say this when I come across a category like this. I can just imagine going to a garage sale and there's a Barbie fan and they just have all of these books in a storage container and $1 a book or $2 a book and just picking them up and making like $5,000. When it comes to this sort of stuff, I always think that when there's one, there's more, right? Because somebody that is buying a Barbie book surely has more than one book, right? You don't get into Barbie and buy one Barbie, right? You have multiple Barbies. Like, you don't go to somebody's house and they're like, oh, I'm really into Barbie, and you walk into their house and they have a single Barbie. You know, like, just going back to before, imagine your friend, I'm a Star Wars nerd, do you want to come check out my place? And you're like, okay. And you walk inside and there's just like a single Star Wars action figure on the shelf. Like, come check this out. It's just this one thing, you know? Like, when you have one, surely you have to have more. That's what I thought when I went into this thrift store and I found the Barbie book. I was like, okay, well, let's see if I can find any other pink books. Couldn't. So there goes my entire theory. I'm full of shit. But yeah, the prices are crazy high. There's even one book right now called Barbie 60 Years of Inspiration. It's listed at $2,400. It's not just that random price with nobody watching it. Like, it has 22 people watching it. But yeah, when it comes to this book that I picked up, there was an existing listing. There was only two active listings for this book, Barbie, Barbie, The Art of Barbie Style book. They all mentioned, by the way, the publisher's name, the Asylone. Yeah, there's two. The first one is actually within Australia. and it's $399, so $400, and it has 14 people watching at the time of recording. The other one is an American one, an American listing, and that's a bit cheaper at $218 plus post. So I imagine that is like, I don't know, what's that in US dollars, maybe $150. But yeah, that's the Australia tax for you. $400 for the Art of Barbie style book. 14 people watching. So I've put mine up. I decided to put mine up a bit cheaper. You know, I want a sale. I don't want 14 people watching it for the next 6 months. So I've put it up for $200. I think that's fair. The one that was $400 was brand new. I don't know if it was sealed. I don't know if books can be sealed with plastic. It might be. So yeah, I've put it for $200. The one that I had a bit of dust on the top and bottom, or I had like some dirt. I tried to get it off, and stupid me, the pages had like this glossy ink on the top and bottom, and I've tried to remove like some of the dirt, because it was like caked on, and I removed like the gloss from the top, so I've made it worse. I've done like a Mr. Bean painting. I promise though, the front cover doesn't have a Mr. Bean painting over the Barbies. But yeah, $200. I think it will sell. I mean, if you're seeing a pre-owned book for $200 and the brand new one for $400, I don't know if the people that are going to buy this are going to display the book, or they're going to use it as a coffee table book and look at the photos. I think it would be the coffee table section. I think the people that buy this want to read it or want to look at it. So that's why I'm not too concerned about it being pre-owned versus being brand new. But yeah, keep an eye out for this brand, man. Like if you see a Barbie book and you see this brand, the one that I've said before, man, that's a winning combination. I mean, just find the bright pink book, anything Barbie bound and printed. I mean, I'm 100% going to pick it up. I think you should too. Next, let's move over to DVDs. And like I've said a million times, I don't want to be picking up too many DVDs, but this was just too good to refuse. There's bulk lot of Bratz DVDs. There was 9 titles. I was able to get them for $1 each. And, you know, I know about Bratz that when it comes to the dolls, they're worth picking up. You know, you can usually get a good price for them, especially if they have their original clothes. And if they're sealed. I didn't know that the DVDs were going to be worth anything when I saw them. They were the animated version, and I just figured that, you know, they're expensive toys, so maybe they're expensive DVDs too. And I got 9. I paid $9. I've listed them up for $100 for these 9 DVDs, and so far, I mean, so far I've got a lot of interest. There's 107 views already with 11 people watching, so they will sell soon. I just couldn't really believe that it has this much attention already. Titles are all animated. They're all, you know, the Bratz dolls, as animated characters. And yeah, they're very popular for some reason, whether they're out of print now. Like the Barbie stuff before, man, if you find one of them, I found one and then I was like, okay, well, I found one or two, and that's when I immediately thought, well, okay, there's going to be more. Somebody's donated their Bratz collection, and I just went through a bunch of them, spent about 5 minutes looking, and was able to rack up about 9 titles. And, you know, the perfectionist in me was like, well, I need one more to make it an even 10. But yeah, I just couldn't find the other one. So I put them up, taken photos, made sure they're all the same region, which they were, region 4, the Australian region. It appears that when you're finding these Bratz DVDs, you can get about $10 a disc when it's in a bundle. And then, you know, if you have more than one, then you can add on your premium for the bundle. But yeah, there was the top comp at the time was $80 for 7 DVDs. And that had like 6 people watching it, and it said it was in 2 people's carts. So I figured, you know, put it up a bit more. Let's do $100 for 9. From looking at comps on eBay, there doesn't appear to be one specific DVD that is the rarest. That's what I like to do when I'm finding bundles too, is checking on eBay sold listings, sorting by highest first, and then seeing if there's any that are rare and just picking up that one. Like the other day, I found a couple of VHS in a thrift store for the Wiggles. I didn't end up buying any of them. They're the original cast Wiggles. I've talked about the Wiggles before on DVD. Always aim for like the TV series that's like the seasons, because you can get like $100 per season. Typed into eBay sold comps the Wiggles VHS, sorted from highest to lowest to see which one was the, or see if there was any that were worth picking up by themselves. And there definitely is. There's one that's called the Wiggles Lights Camera Action. The most recent sold comp was on auction and it had 92 bids, with the total ending price being $291. So when you find these big bundles, yeah, do that. See if you have, you know, the golden ticket, right? Like, that's what I did with the VHS. I was like, holy shit, the Wiggles Lights Camera Action, find it. And out of the five that were there, it wasn't there. So I was shit out of luck. But yeah, there isn't one for Bratz. There isn't one sort of like Holy Grail. They all seem to be about the same. About the $10 per disc. I wouldn't buy just one. I mean, even if you get it for 50 cents and you put it in like a letter to ship it off, you might make like 10 bucks after fees and post. I don't think it's worth it. I think if you get the bundle, then you can do it that way. You'd make, yeah, just assume 10 bucks a disc plus maybe a bit of a premium on top. But you can't bundle everything. Like, that strategy for Bratz wouldn't work, or it might not work for, like, you know, Barbie or Monster High or any of those other doll sort of brands. Yeah, just make sure you do your research there. I think Bratz is a good brand to keep an eye out for in the DVD market. And if you find the Wiggles VHS at a garage sale, keep the eye open for the Wiggles Lights Camera Action. And then please tag me and post it online, because if you put it up for auction, $291 for 92 bids, that's what the last person got. I've said this in this podcast. Picture going to somebody's garage sale and they have a box full of old Wiggles VHS. And it can happen. It hasn't happened to me, but it can happen. I fully believe it can happen. Anyway, there's a whole host of other smaller items that I've found this week that I've included in the newsletter. I'm not going to talk about, just because they're little knick-knacky things. They will all make me decent money, but I don't want to really talk about them. The last thing I want to talk about that I found, it cost me $5 in a Salvos thrift store. I walked past it and I wasn't too sure if I was going to pick it up. I saw it and I could tell that it was old, but I just couldn't tell whether it was like a dollar store type item or if it was like something sort of more mainstream. So what I'm talking... Okay, wait, before I go into this, not everything that's old is valuable, okay? We need to say that. Not everything that's old is valuable. You can get old like action figures that were just sold, they're unbranded and stuff. They can be virtually worthless. So I walked past, I wasn't too sure. There was no real branding on this item. When I saw it, it's shaped like a Game Boy. Picture a Nintendo Game Boy. That's what it was shaped like. It came with two cartridges. It came in a cardboard box, no branding. It just had like this little, like a model number, which was QGH78. You can't do anything with that information, but that's what it was. And at the top of it, it said 3-in-1 interchangeable game. Doesn't mean anything to me. The side of it, though, said interchangeable game child. So they've come up with a name. There's no brand, I guess, because they're infringing on Nintendo's copyright with just the design of this knockoff Game Boy. That's what we're going to call it. So if I haven't described it enough, the game console looks exactly like a Game Boy. It's more plasticky in the sense that there's not that much electronics going on in it. It takes a watch battery to work, and the cartridges, they just look so cheap. Like the games... Wait, before I say the games, the buttons on this thing, there was like a left and a right button, and then like three small sort of like mode and start select buttons on it too. So you get the game cartridge. It came with two, one game called Invader and one game called Car Racing. They're basically the exact same, just different graphics. And when I say graphics, these graphics are, they're really bad. This thing probably took like 10 minutes to code. Although if it was great in the very, very early 90s, it probably took fucking years to do, but the games are really bad. The Car Racing, it's not a side scroller. It's, what do you call it when like the terrain comes to you? You basically go left or right to avoid other cars, and that's the exact same for the game Invader. I think like sort of in, I don't know, think Alien Invasion, and you don't shoot them, you just move from left to right to avoid them. So it's like an alien invasion, but you're not destroying the aliens, you're just running away from them or dodging them. So it was marked for $5. I was like, okay, let's bring it home. The graphics on it, on the cardboard are at least somewhat interesting, and the fact that it said Game Child on the side, it gave me some information to work with when I was looking it up. And I've said before that knockoff stuff can sometimes be valuable. You know, you get the old 80s action figure knockoffs and they can be worth more than the actual figures. So yeah, it's from the 90s. It is, I could confirm that it was a Nintendo Game Boy knockoff. It was called the Game Child, terrible name. And we have some sold comps for it. The sold comp that I found was from the States. It sold in January, or the very end of January, the 31st, so not that long ago. And the sold comp was for $88. And that looked to be just from the Game Boy, Game Child console by itself, plus a game. So the one that I got came within a cardboard box. I think that it's sort of cool. You know, it's a piece of gaming history in a way. Very cheap gaming history. It's not like, you know, one of the earlier consoles. This is a knockoff. This is a very, very cheap knockoff. In a way, it doesn't even look that great. I mean, I'm looking at the photo of it now, and the display, you know, in a lot of my listings, I say, like, a display's great. This thing doesn't even display great. The graphics are just bad. I think it looks better outside the box, to be honest. I probably should have taken it out of the box, but the battery compartment actually sucks on this. I couldn't list it for like the same amount of money as this other guy, because when I was trying to play it, it wouldn't work. And then, you know, I chucked fresh batteries in it, or one fresh battery in it, because that's all it takes, a single watch battery. And again, it didn't work. But then I thought, like, well, maybe it's a bit loose on the back. So I put some pressure on the battery on the back. And once the pressure was applied, the game started to work. I'm sure there's a fix there. I think like the screw in the back doesn't screw in all the way, so when the cover's on, it doesn't press down against the battery enough. Sort of a pain in the ass, because, you know, when there's little things like that, you have to make mention of it in the listing. Maybe there's an easy fix with getting a new screw that can screw in. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fucking electrical engineer, but yeah, it could look okay on someone's shelf, I guess, taken out of the box. It's a conversation starter, I guess. It's a Game Child, you know. It's just a really bad knockoff. But for $5, I thought it was interesting. And I might take a video of me playing it and put it on Instagram and YouTube Shorts, just so you can see what it's like. If you haven't seen the photos, go on the newsletter, you'll be able to see it. If you want to play Invader or Car Racing, could they not come up with better titles as well? Like, they've literally called it Car Racing. It is the most boring name. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's really bad. I reckon you could find this back in the day in Golo or one of those dollar stores for people that couldn't afford Game Boys. Like, I could just imagine, oh, this made me think of like waking up on Christmas morning, asking mum and dad for a Game Boy, and then seeing the 3-in-1 interchangeable Game Child. You're like, you want to play Pokemon, but instead you can play Invader. But yeah, it's cool. $5 slipped through the cracks, I guess. It's a $100 item. I've listed it online for, let's see what I put it up for. I put it up for $59.95. It's a bit low, I think, now that I look at it. And that's with free post. Surely someone should snap this up soon. It's already had 32 views. Only a single watcher, maybe because of the little read description part that I had to put in the title, which is a pain. Anything like those old knockoffs could be valuable. Go to garage sales and you might find some of the older technology games, and you know, you can sometimes get lucky with them like this. But yeah, you need to make sure they work too, and that's a downfall, especially with how old they are and if they still have their existing batteries in. You open it up and you get fucking battery acid all over you. Now, just quickly before I wrap up this what sold section, I need to make a mention that on the drive home from my sister's the other day, the one item that I picked up from the thrift store when I stopped in, because I was avoiding going back to reality, I stopped in at a Salvo's and I saw these three sports jersey t-shirts. The one that was at the front wasn't exactly a t-shirt. It was like a training singlet, or it was like a polo with a sports team on it. And they're not really collectible. They're not valuable. When it comes to their sell-through rate, they sell like a polo shirt. So they're not going to be off the shelf quickly. But I think what the person that was marking these up was, they comped one, and then they used that comp for all of them. There was the training singlet, the polo of two different teams, and then there was a jersey. This is what I'm after, the jersey, the Brisbane Broncos NRL jersey. It had a silhouette of a soldier on it, so that represented the Anzac round in the NRL. One specific round every year where they honor the Anzacs, the people that fought and died. I knew instantly that this thing was going to be worth more than $30. I didn't even comp it. I just took it straight to the counter, bought it for $30. It's overpay. I mean, it's not overpaying, but it's, I don't know. I don't really pay $30 for jerseys. They're marked down to, you know, 10, 5. But yeah, I got it for $30, took it home, listed it on both eBay and Marketplace, put it on eBay for $150, I put it on Marketplace for $100, and I'll tell you a bit later about what happened with it. It is time for what sold, and I swear to God, I deserve a medal or a trophy for what I've been able to accomplish this week. The first thing that I sold was a jigsaw puzzle. I need some sort of sound effect of clapping, of cheering, because it wasn't just a regular jigsaw puzzle that I sold. It was something that sold for $80 and it was missing two pieces. It was an incomplete jigsaw puzzle that sold for $80 that I picked up for, I think, $6 back in issue number 52, which was like less than a month ago. I cannot believe that I sold an incomplete jigsaw puzzle for $80. This thing was from 1984. If you've been following along for a while, this thing was like the bane of my existence. This was a puzzle that I picked up and I brought it home. I opened it up and I thought, okay, it is supposedly only 150 pieces, so I can go through it and I can count out 150 pieces and then I can determine whether or not this is complete or incomplete, sell it like that. And when I opened it up, there wasn't 150 pieces, there was more. There was like pieces from other puzzles mixed in with this. So I couldn't just pull it all apart. I had to do the puzzle to see what was there, what wasn't there. So on a random weekday, I did for the first time in my life. I can't even say I completed a puzzle because it was missing pieces, but I attempted to complete a puzzle. It ended up, yeah, having two of the pieces missing. The puzzle comped out initially for like $300. What the puzzle was, it was a Redheads Matchbox puzzle. Okay, so just picture what a Redheads Matchbox looks like, and it was that, enlarge it by like maybe 10, and then inside of it, it was like this puzzle design that was like the matches. So this was not an easy puzzle, by the way. I mean, it was only 150 pieces, but I don't even think I've done a puzzle before. Like, Is that sad to say? I've never done a puzzle before. I still can't say I've completed a puzzle. That's what pisses me off the most. But yeah, it was incomplete. There was only one single active listing for this. It was $300, I think. It was $400 or something like that. And I put this up for $80. No, I put it up for $100 because I thought people aren't going to be buying this for the puzzle. They're going to be buying it for the, you know, the giant matchbox looking box. So yeah, I even put in the title like missing two pieces and somebody ended up buying it a month later for $75. So I'd like to hear from you. Have you ever bought and sold a puzzle before missing pieces? I think it would have to be some sort of like really in-demand puzzle item for somebody to buy it without a piece, with a piece or two missing. I know that with modern puzzles, sometimes they come with little forms that say if you're missing a piece you can write in here and you can get a free one shipped to you. I don't know if that's actually a thing or if I dreamt that. If that's a thing, yeah. But yeah, this puzzle that I bought was from 1984, so there's no way you're going to be able to write in. I mean, who are you going to write in? Who are you going to call? I'm missing a puzzle piece. Who gives a shit? No one cares. But I would like to hear from you if you've ever bought a puzzle before missing pieces and it's ended up selling. That is like a huge accomplishment, right? It's like buying a steak dinner without a steak. You just get the funny little lettuce and the shit chips, right? You're not getting what you're paying for. It's incomplete. Who wants something that's incomplete? Imagine if it wasn't 150 pieces too. Imagine if it was 3,000 pieces and you're finishing up a 3,000 puzzle piece. You're like, okay, here's the 2,999th puzzle piece. And then you look down at, you know, where you're getting your puzzle pieces from and you're like, there's none left. Like, fuck that. I would leave the rudest feedback ever on eBay. I'm like, dude, What the fuck? What are you doing? Why are you selling it? Anyway, $80 for that thing. Like I said, personal accomplishment. I'm happy that I was able to get rid of it. I have such a disdain for puzzles. It runs all throughout my family. It's like mold, you know. Mold isn't just surface level. It runs deep. It's like it goes into who you are. It goes into your veins. And I think that I'm just so excited that I got rid of this puzzle. I've said puzzle maybe like fucking 100 times right now, but yeah, it's gone. $80. I mean, if you're going to buy a puzzle from the thrift store, it needs to be sealed, right? Like, you can't take a chance on an open puzzle unless it's factory sealed or unless the comps are so crazy that it's worth taking that gamble, because it really is a gamble. And or in this case, I had a feeling when I bought it that I wasn't going to, even if it was missing a piece, sorry, that I'd be able to sell it just because the box looks so cool. So that's what you need to weigh up. The next item is what somebody would describe as a coffee table book, or what I would describe as like a put it under your pillow type book, because I got this from a thrift store. It's called Takashi Takauchi Fate Artworks Return to Avalon Fate Series Art Book Japan. It tells you nothing, but the front cover of it looks like an anime person with a cross between a sword and a lightsaber. What it is, it's artwork from this show, or artwork from this video game. I'm not sure what it is. When it comes to this stuff and they have all this shit in the title, I can never tell what is, like, who is the author? You know, like I just said, Takashi Takachi, is that the author? Fate Artworks Return to Avalon Fate Series Art Book. I mean, I guess it has to be Fate Series. This is a artwork book from the Fate Series by somebody named Takashi Takauchi. So yeah, it's a hardcover. It's quite big. Like I said, it's a coffee table book. It costs a lot to ship. It was listed off for $80. I bought it from a thrift store for only a couple of dollars. I got it home and I looked through it. I thought to myself, I can't get away from this stuff. And when I say I can't get away from this stuff, I'm referencing that $150 DVD that I picked up the other day when I was told that it was basically like some sort of anime porn, okay? I don't want any shit from that. I don't want anyone to come at me saying, it's not anime, it's actually a really good story, blah, blah, blah. This, I opened it up to random pages. I took a video to send to somebody saying, look what I've bought. Every page that I opened up, or almost every page, there was pictures of these cartoon characters dressed in like bikinis and stuff. I wasn't searching this out on the pages. I was just opening them up and that's where they were. Cartoon illustrations of scantily clad women. I don't understand who would be buying this if it's a coffee table book. You're going to put it on your coffee table. Your friends and family are going to be coming over and being like, well, you go in the next room and take a shit. And then they're like, okay, let's take a read of whatever book is on the table here. And then, you know, they're going to be opening up the pages that are stuck together and seeing fucking these cartoon people that are half naked. I don't understand it. I really, really don't. If somebody can help me understand it. Actually, no, I don't want, no. Please do not try and bring me over to the dark side. Or I don't want to know. I just know that it was $79.95 plus post. So I think it ends up being a $100 order. I've said to you before that you need to be racially profiling books and DVDs because this sort of stuff sells for a lot of money. I think that's okay to say because we're not passing judgment. We're just saying that it's worth money to be buying that stuff. Yeah, there's photos of the cover, okay? Of the cover, not of the inside, in the newsletter. You can check it out. If you want to see pictures of the inside, then please go somewhere else. Yeah, $79.95 plus post. Hell yeah. The next item is another book. It is illustrations, but not scantily clad women. We have like orcs and fantasy characters. I'd much rather have this on a coffee table. It is a book within the Warhammer series called Legacies of Betrayal. I've talked about Warhammer a lot on this podcast and in the newsletter. The simple fact is, if you find it in a thrift store, try and find more. All of these Warhammer books, they go for crazy amounts of money, and What is cool with this particular book that I sold for $100, it was sold for $99.95, is that you can go on the Flip Weekly Instagram and you can watch me find that exact same book, that exact book, in a thrift store for $4. So you can see me finding it in the shelf, pulling it out, seeing the price tag, $4, and then today, recording, it sold for $100. So it's just like, use that as motivation, right? Like, use that as me going to a thrift store and turning 4 into 100, just like that. And just like a lot of these series, if you find one, you might find more. In that video, you'll be able to see me find this one and another one. And the other one is the one that's more valuable. Is listed for, I think it might even be $150 to $200. Okay, and these are all paperback books. These look like $2, $3 books in a thrift store. They don't look like they're worth hundreds of dollars. But I mean, if you just follow Flip Weekly, you'll know that this stuff is worth money. And you'll be able to pick up a whole bunch of these if you find them. You know, one day you will get lucky and find a whole host of these books. And then you're laughing, right? Like, you've made that much money. Now, in the What I Bought section this week, I told you about coming home from my sister's place, finding a jersey for $30 that I listed up on Marketplace for $100, eBay for $150. Good news, it sold. It sold so fucking quickly. It sold on, let me get the numbers for you real quick. So I listed this on eBay at 4:37 p.m. You can tell, I left my sister's place at like before lunchtime. It must have been like 10, 11 o'clock. And the fact that it's only an hour journey back home and I'm getting back at 4:37 p.m. just shows how badly I didn't want to come back to reality. But I listed it up on eBay at 4:37 p.m. And the way that I list is I put it all up on eBay and then I just simply, copy the title, copy the description, lower the price and cross-post it onto Marketplace. I took down the listing on eBay. I took a screenshot and included in the newsletter at 4:48. And that's what time it sold on Marketplace. Somebody messaged me real quick. They showed that they weren't like a bot. You know, half the time when you get messages on Marketplace within a couple of minutes, you know for a fact this is a bot and you just block them straight away. But this person, they said my name, they included my name. They included like, I'm interested in this jersey. And you know what? They didn't even ask me how much it was going to be to post. They said something. I'm going to read it verbatim to you. Okay, and this shows you how motivated this buyer was. Okay, so I have my phone in front of me now, and he said to me, "Hi, Matthew, I'm interested in the jersey. I'd like to get it posted, though." Okay, sent that at 4:46, and at 4:46, he also sent another message saying, "Will 115 bank transfer be enough?" And like, I go, shit, like, this guy's super motivated. I said, yes, everything's perfect. Sent him through my details. He sent me through his address. He asked for PayPal. And when it comes to PayPal on Marketplace, I always say, I will take it, but you have to cover the fees. And when I say that, I'm like, PayPal is fine. I'll need you to cover the fees. Otherwise, I'm happy to accept any feeless options. Here in Australia, it's like bank transfer, pay ID, or can't pick it up in cash. That type of thing. So I said to him, it'll be $118.38. And he was like, yeah, no worries, blah, blah, blah. He ended up sending it through. I took it down off eBay. I didn't take it down off eBay until I received the money, because you never know with Facebook Marketplace people. But yeah, man, this was gone so quickly. And 30 into $100. I probably listed it too low if it was gone that quickly. It didn't sell as quick as my quickest of all time. That belongs to... My personal one was the Ghostbusters, Goosebumps eBay listing. Ironically, the fastest I've ever experienced in real life was when me and Sam were on the garage sale trail and we sold another Goosebumps thing in like 3 minutes on Marketplace. But yeah, this was 8 minutes for a sale price of $100. I guess that's one good thing about coming back to reality is that this is real money and real money in my bank account. By the way, I've never really had a problem with somebody that wants to pay via PayPal. I think those people are more wary of scams on Marketplace. They want that buyer protection from PayPal. Just know that if they ask to pay via that you want them to cover the fees. There's websites online you can go to where you can type in how much you need to receive. You should ask for a certain amount. So like for $100, you need to be asking for like $103 because PayPal takes their fee. And don't be afraid to also say, you know, you can also buy it on eBay. Send them through a link to your eBay listing if they want more protection. I've also experienced saying to somebody that they can purchase it on my eBay and provided the link to them, and that sort of gave them confidence that I was legit, and they were like, okay, no worries, I'll just send through the payment to you directly. I have sold a few more items this week. Most of them are like how I was saying earlier with the buying stuff. Most of them are sort of small little knickknacks. You can view them on the newsletter. I'll go into a bit more detail there just because you can see photos. I don't want to have to describe like little items that it sold. But yeah, it was a decent week in sales. We're going to do the reads for this week. Remember, if you have a question or if you have something you want to share on the podcast, email me at matt@flipweekly.com or jump onto flipweekly.com and just submit it through the contact form. It's exactly what this person did. His name is Jake. He's from Melbourne, Australia. He says, hey, Matt, love the newsletter and the podcast. I know you've had some insane thrift finds, but I've got to ask, what's the coolest item you've ever left behind at a garage sale or thrift store, and do you regret it? Like, was there something you picked up, debated over, then walked away from, only to realize later it was a gold mine? Or maybe something so weird that you just couldn't justify bringing it home. Keen to hear if there's one that still haunts you. So this actually happened this week. There was a New York City 3D puzzle by a company called Rebbit, which is Rebbit. It's not a regular puzzle, a 3D puzzle. It's like these little foam-like pieces that you build up instead of just building flat. You would have seen them in thrift stores or even department stores or chain stores like Kmart that you can buy now. It's just, yeah, pieces you put together to build a structure. And this was from 1997. Like I said, New York, because it was 1997, it featured the Twin Towers. So anything before 2001, New York City related, that features the Twin Towers has a huge market. Maybe longing for better days, I'm not too sure. It's definitely a different type of nostalgia, or, you know, longing for a better time in New York, I guess. It was 3,141 pieces. The box was open. It wasn't in its original packaging. It was inside two plastic bags, and those two plastic bags was inside another like plastic bag thing. I just didn't know if it was going to be complete, and I didn't want to sell it not knowing if it was complete or incomplete. Put two and two together and realized that the last time I completed the puzzle, which was 150 pieces, it took me like 2 hours. If I was going to do a 3,000 piece 3D puzzle, it would take me weeks or months. Even on the front of the box, it said super challenging, entertaining, and fun. Those three things don't go together for me. It can't be super challenging and fun. It's either going to be fun or it's just going to be easy. I don't want to struggle with a puzzle. It looked really fucking cool. You know, it was a big box. It stood out. I took a video of it before I looked it up because I thought, you know, I'm definitely going to buy this because it's pre-9/11. I've sold something that was pre-9/11 before. It was a snow globe. Sold it locally. I picked it up in a thrift store for a couple of bucks. I can't remember. I wrote about it on Flip Weekly, and I sold it locally on Marketplace for like $100, something like that. Pre-9/11 stuff is really good. It's like a landscape of New York City from the 90s, and the Twin Towers obviously stand out because they're the tallest buildings in New York City at the time. So I looked it up, and it had comms. If this was brand new and sealed, you can get $500 for it. If it was pre-owned, there are comps that are around, I mean, the comps are sort of all over the place, I guess, because this is a 90s product that isn't around too much anymore. But there's comps 280, 140, there's one 140, 87, that one's a bit low. But yeah, the comps are around that. I think if I was to put mine up, it would be, you know, 150 to $200, but I'd need to know if it was complete. Yeah, there's only one way to do that, and you either count the pieces or you do the puzzle, and I just wasn't going to do that, even though I could potentially make $150 to $200. I just thought it's not worth my time. It's actually quite a big 3D puzzle. There's a photo online of somebody completing it, and it's like the size of a regular table in a kitchen, like a kitchen table, yeah. Takes up a lot of space and does look really cool. Check it out online. Just what would you Google? Rebbit New York Twin Towers. Rebbit, like I said, is spelled with a W. It's Rebbit. Just Google that. Check it out. It looks really cool, but I did leave it behind. It was only $6. It wasn't even a lot of money. It was just going to be a gamble if it was complete or not. But the lesson here is that pre-9/11 is worth buying. 3,000 piece puzzles when they're not brand new, definitely not worth buying unless you can make really, really good money. And I guess for me, it would be like $1,000 or more. Now that I think about it, what would be my price to put together a 3,000 piece 3D jigsaw puzzle? It would have to be maybe $1 a piece, right? Maybe $3,000. I guess the brand or the model of this was Puzz 3D. So yeah, if you type that into Google, you'll be able to find it. And yeah, check it out. It just looks, yeah, I've said it and I'll say it again, it just looks really cool. That is the podcast for this week. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media, instagram.com/flipweekly. YouTube, just search for Flip Weekly. Appreciate any sort of rating on your podcast platform, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Give us a 5-star, leave us a comment. All of that helps us grow. It is only the beginning of the month, so you have this entire month to increase your sales on eBay, increase your sales on Marketplace. Make sure you hit up every single thrift store you can, every single garage sale. Send us through things that you find at matt@flipweekly.com, or go onto the website flipweekly.com. Submit your stuff that you find. I'll give you a shout out in the newsletter, in the podcast. Thank you again. I'll see you next week. This is Matt signing off. I love you guys. See ya.